This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to Nirvana Sisters Podcast, where we take the intimidation out of well-being and beauty to help you achieve your highest state, your Nirvana. We are sisters-in-law and your hosts. I'm Amy Sherman.
And I'm Katie Chandler. So let's get into some real conversation. In this episode, we decided to bring you some great bonus content from a few of our favorite guests. We start with Katie Whalen, and we go a little bit deeper into the peptides that she discusses in her episode, GLP-1 medications, growth hormones, and then we talk a little bit about the Lumen device that Amy and I both tried. And then after Katie, we have Jen Silverman, who we all love, nutritionist Jen Silverman. We dig a little bit into infrared saunas, hot and cold therapy. And lastly, we have Jessica McGuire, the vagus nerve specialist. And this was great because Amy and I had a little bit of an opportunity to get her advice on our own medical conditions that we were dealing with at the time that I'm sure a lot of you can relate to. This is when I had post-COVID fibromyalgia. So anyone that's suffering from that would really benefit from listening to this. And Amy talks to her about her vestibular migraines. And Jessica gives great advice on both. So we hope you enjoy.
Yeah, it does a ton of things. Like our levels are highest at middle school age. So when you think of, and then at night is when it kind of restores and you get a more boost in your human growth hormone when you're recovering. So really what it does is helps you with deeper sleep. It helps you with your metabolism and muscle tone, your ability to like lose fat, your also energy levels. It's basically like a little, to me, it's like a little youth hormone.
Is that the same one as the weight loss one you said?
There's a different weight loss one. But let me tell you also with the growth hormone one, I find, so it really helps your body like produce more collagen. So for your skin, I feel like it really like kind of just tightens it up. It like helps prevent that like aging, sagging, like kind of stuff. But it's a great overall. Nice. Yeah.
Is that, like do one. You know if human growth hormone is that elevated when you're pregnant? I'm just curious. Do you know? Is that naturally in your body? I'm going to look into that. I don't know. Because I, for whatever reason, when I was pregnant, I like looked and felt, I have an autoimmune condition that affects my hormones. And I felt really good when I was pregnant. And I always thought it was like a hormonal boost from the pregnancy. So I've been trying to like crack the code on which one it was. I'll look into it.
Dr. JC. And also if you guys ever want to, you know, be sciencey and have him on. He's really great to talk to. But let me ask him, because, you know, they always say pregnant people have that glow and there is something to that.
So yeah.
Yeah, that is interesting. And then for the weight loss peptide, like, can you take the weight loss one and that growth one at the same time?
Yeah, I do. For sure.
And when you said that weight loss one, like you lost more than you thought, when you were on it, were you also like doing a specific meal plan too? Or were you just doing your normal like healthy eating and taking that?
Normal healthy eating, it's really insanely amazing. So what it does is it helps regulate your insulin sensitivity and helps your metabolism, helps you actually convert your food to energy. And it makes you feel fuller and changes, it pings some receptors in your brain so you don't have the cravings. Yeah. And so it's actually, I think right now I'm sure you've heard of it. There's some brand names that do for diabetes because it's resistance. And then a brand name that does, you know, obesity and weight loss. We compound the medicines from our pharmacies. And I took it to help me lose weight and I It was great. And then I still am on, I'm on a microdose now because I really believe it's healthy just for aging and metabolism in general, just to keep your, you know, metabolism healthy. You know, they're studying it also for its effects on lowering your risk for Alzheimer's, because Alzheimer's has to do with your metabolic health. So I, you know, I also find it like super freeing because you're not obsessed with like eating a whole bag of chips anymore. You know, like it's just like,
yeah,
I'll still order a hamburger and fries and I'll have like a few fries. I'm like, I don't want any more. So it's like a really nice, like
interesting
freedom from like cravings.
We also, Katie and I were both trying, do you know the Lumen, that device?
I've heard of that. Is that a tracker?
You blow into it and it tells you your metabolic ability. Basically, it's like a way to track if you're burning fat or carbs. And I've been doing that just to kind of see, like, based on what I'm eating, like how you wake up, if you're in a fat burn state or a carb burn state or a combination. And so it's almost like I'm just doing it for research to understand, but it doesn't really change that much over time. Like here and there it does, but yeah, just all these different things. It's so fun. So interesting.
Yeah.
To warm up, and that's your metabolism that is working. And the other way around, if you're so hot, your body's like detox. We're gonna use the word detox to get out. Complete. I mean, it's almost like HIIT training with hot and cold therapy.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, he was saying to do 11 minutes of cold, whether it's cold plunge or cold shower or cold ice bath a week. So like a few minutes, like a couple times a week. And then he said to do, I think it was like 57 minutes in the sauna, again, spread out throughout the week. But apparently that's really a great way.
The plunging too, going. Right? I went to a spa once where they like had like a hot plunge and a cold plunge and they're like, get in and out, go back and forth.
Yeah.
Right.
It's supposed to be amazing for your metabolism and all that kind of stuff. But anyway,
nice.
The whole category is super interesting.
I know. Are you going to get a sauna? You should get a sauna.
We're looking into it.
Are you really?
Yeah, because my husband and I are both obsessed with getting one. We're just trying to figure out, like, actually, when I was listening to that episode, he was talking about the sauna, but I don't know if they need like a red light infrared sauna or just a regular sauna. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Infrared is more for your skin.
Yeah.
It depends what the benefits are. Like, both of them are great for you. The benefit of infrared, like, people go to infrared more for, I think it's skin.
Yeah.
Related.
And then a regular sauna is just like
the similar, just like detox, like getting rid of like shit from your body and like
Running
it out. Like, yeah.
Right. But I wonder if the red light one does that too, because it's almost like
it definitely does. An infrared sauna is just more expensive. It's literally, my understanding of it is you're just paying more. And not that it's not, it is a better product if you need those benefits of it. But an infrared definitely does both of them and is definitely a higher price point
than just a regular sauna.
Yeah. I could almost guarantee that.
We're researching it, but then like we don't, the power source, we're like, how does this work? Like, it might be too complicated.
You get an ice barrel too, and then we could just like do this once a week.
Exactly. We could have a little Nirvana Sisters retreat. I know the ice thing sounds psycho to me because I hate cold. You've done it. I know. I've done it. Like, I've sat in a cold plunge before, but for like 1 or 2 seconds.
I have to bounce. You guys keep talking. Jen, it was so good to see you.
I know that people,
Bye.
I know that people do the, what's it called? The like a cold shower at the end of their shower for like a minute or two.
Yeah.
But to me, that's like, I love to take a hot shower. Doing that at the end feels so brutal. I'm like, oh, but it's supposed to be great. I just have to like try it. But I like want to integrate it into my routine because that help. I feel like it'll help like boost my metabolism and my flexibility.
I had post-COVID fibromyalgia at the end of that really horrifying year where I was just a total like train wreck from my nervous system. It was just a mess. And then I ended up getting COVID, and then I ended up having post-COVID fibromyalgia for 2 months. And I think like, of course it hit me like that because I was shot. I was done. I was in such a dysregulated state with my nervous system that of course where the COVID got me was my nervous system. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, it's coming out a lot now. So, and I've had a lot of people reach out with sort of unusual symptoms, but it's like the pattern of the vagus nerve is involved. There's a lot of new research on it now. So your fibromyalgia symptoms, you'd say, have resolved completely?
It has. Yeah. It was like right about
when you were like, you felt like you had like arthritis, you were like so achy and sore.
Yeah, I was diagnosed by a rheumatologist with post-COVID arthritis and post-COVID fibromyalgia. And it lasted for a solid 2 months after the COVID. And then it started to go away. I don't know if it's coincidence, but I did read that meditation helps with that because it's a nervous system situation. So I started doing TM, and around the same time it did get better, but I was also at the 2 month mark, and I had a lot of doctors tell me like really the long COVID stuff is about 8 weeks long and then it usually dissipates. But yeah, I mean, it's like the sickest I've ever been in my life. It was just pain all over my body. This theory that it's like, of course, after a year of stress, that's how it manifested, right?
Yeah. So what they've shown with fibromyalgia is that there is often low vagal tone. So you probably had that just from, you know, one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. And then you'll see the changes come through in the immune system that lead to like the inflammatory response, which is why there's then like an arthritis type setup. Is anybody managing you? Like, are you doing anything now under a specialist or anything like that?
No, I'm not, because it's kind of resolved itself, but I do still get like little bits. I think I've had it for like the last year. I get a little bit of pain here and there, but it's like, it's tolerable. It's nothing like it was during that time frame. But no, I don't even know how to talk to
you. Are you back to doing sort of everything that you could before, or do you feel like you have to slow down a bit now?
No, I'm finally back to it, but it's been really honestly in like the last month or so. But yeah, okay. Back into the mix.
People got some really good results. Like, definitely prioritize vagus nerve. If meditation's what works for you, go for it. Like, whatever you find brings you like into that state where you're like, I feel really great. Like, I'm, you know, calm and connected. And particularly if you find like you're moving into that those states of anxiety, like, what can you do just to bring it down a bit? But there were some good results people found through resistance training as well. I would just pace it. So what we use with chronic pain management is a technique called pacing. So this is like when it's quite high levels, you just introduce it slowly. So if you're a bit of a gung-ho person who like is really driven, this will be a challenge because you'll be like, what? That's all I'm doing. But you want to kind of stop before it gets too much and just slowly, slowly increase. But that is one thing with chronic pain that works like so well is the exercise part. And you'll probably find like the breathing techniques, if you can like bring, like say do some exercise, discharge like activation. So you know, like after exercise, you feel like, I feel a bit chill. Then use some of the breath work stuff from the masterclass then, because I just find people who are prone to anxiety and go to breath work and focus on the breath, it sometimes just makes them like, I don't like it. I feel, you know, still quite stressed. They're better off to exercise first and then do some breathing technique.
Okay. Yeah. I noticed last week when I started having pain, I would go out and do like yoga or something, and it does help. It's moving just around actually makes it better.
Yeah, definitely does. Definitely with arthritis. I think the key is like finding the sweet spot. So it's like too much exercise for people can give them a flare up. And that's just why long term you want to have something where you go, okay, I can do this much, and then just build it by like 10% each week. Which can feel like a little bit like, oh, this is too easy. But it's what happens is people get flare-ups when they go too hard and then they can't do anything. So it's just sort of fine. It'll balance your nervous system out, basically.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. And I am signing up for your class. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Look, feel free to reach back out if you want to follow up in a couple of months or anything and see, you know, if you want any more, just have a chat through things that might help with that. I'm more than happy to.
Yeah, I was going to say, even though your symptoms are like at bay now, it's like, who would she work with? I mean, obviously she could reach out to you, but like, What kind of doctor is it, like an integrative doctor that would help kind of like look at all of this? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Look, from the gut perspective, you may find that is helpful. I think you could manage it on your own, though. I think you're well aware enough to say it's if you get a flare up, knowing like, okay, I've flared up a bit, I'm going to slow back down, but you might not. I would just try it yourself. And then if things got worse, it's a tricky one because fibromyalgia is poorly managed, poorly understood. There's all doctors that say it's all in your head. I mean, it infuriates me, but there are still a lot of people around who have.
And then you see like a million commercials for like medication for it. That's the thing. I know what it is. Right. There's commercials every second.
Yeah, right. It's very poorly managed and understood. But if you can get like, just think of it in terms of what I was saying with that window of tolerance. If you stay like or expand your window so that you're not outside it as much, you'll find that you're like from an inflammatory point of view, the vagus nerve controls that. And that's really what's lying at the heart of fibromyalgia. So the better you get your vagus nerve working, it'll control your inflammation and you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad I found you.
Quickly right. For like, not to air all of our dirty laundry, but like with dizziness, which I've been like, knock on wood, good for a couple of years. But the reason why I asked you, which I didn't mention before, is I am on a medication that helps with my vestibular migraines, which I'm going to go off of it. But my doctor was like, don't go off of it during COVID. This was a while ago. She's like, because if you don't feel well, you don't want to go to a hospital, yada, yada, yada. So I'm still on it just because I'm like lazy and I'm afraid to go off of it, but I'd like to go off of it. Mm-hmm. But it does help with my vestibular migraines and keeping them like at bay. But do people ever come to you with like dizziness, vertigo, like that kind of symptom?
They were, when we were treating them at, like when I was treating in clinic still. So I don't do that now because I'm more doing this. But have you had much treatment from like, say, a physical therapist or anything like that who specializes in vertigo?
Yeah, I did. When I was going through the phase where it was really bad, I was going to a physical therapist for vestibular and I was doing exercises where like you would like move your head back and forth and that did help. Like it makes you dizzy, but then you get regulated because you keep making yourself dizzy. So I actually have those exercises. I haven't done them in forever, but like she would always say, if you start to feel that way, like do the exercises again. And I'd be like, but I don't want to do the exercises because it makes me feel worse. And then I was like, but yes, I have done that and it was really helpful. I actually want to have her, I was telling Katie, because we want to do an episode on vestibular migraines because it's kind of rare. People don't really know what it is. And I was going to have that doctor come on because she was the one who knew so much about it and had recommended me to this medicine just to keep it at bay until I can manage it. But so I have done that.
Did she do like the head tilt back where you put your head back and turn your head or anything like that? Or was it?
That technique, the Eppley maneuver.
Yes.
She didn't because that is more for people who have positional vertigo, which is like if you're like laying down and you stand up and you get lightheaded or you feel vertigo for like a day or two. She was actually afraid to do that on me because she thought it might make it worse.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you could, like it is a system you can train, the vestibular system, just like you can train like the vagus so that sensations don't make you feel so anxious. Like all of this is trainable, but that's where I would look at it like a bit like approach it from a gym point of view. If you were like, okay, I'm going to do 4 weeks, like train this system and then consider what you would want to do with your medication after that. But you might just need to build up a little bit of a buffer first.
Yeah, like go down a little bit, work on it. I know, because it's funny, she gave me these YouTube videos, which I have to pull up, which I haven't watched in forever, but they're like nauseating videos of like you being like immersed in things and like, to me, it would make anyone dizzy and nauseous. But anyway, she was like, watch like 1 minute and then 2 minutes and then you should be able to get to 20 minutes watching it without feeling like off. But anyway,
that is training, hey, and it's like you need progressive overload in the gym, you know, where you put your weights up.
Yeah, that's so true.
So if you think of it in training, like this is where talking like before with people who feel sensations and they're like, oh. So some people can't feel anything inside their body. Some people can be completely overwhelmed by it. But either way, you can train them to come back to a happy medium. But it's that people are so scared. They're like, but this feels yuck. So it's sort of like you just go slowly, exactly the same as what you're saying.
Yeah.
It kind of is what fixes anxiety in the long term. So, I mean, same thing. But I know there's been a lot come out that's, you probably don't use this anyway, but they're showing like the use of anti-inflammatories is making them worse for so many people.
Oh, wow.
Anti-inflammatory.
Like what kind of anti-inflammatory is like
we have Nurofen here. It would be like over the counter.
Oh, like
an Advil,
oh,
Motrin or something. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Make anxiety worse or inflammation worse?
It was making headaches worse over time.
Vestibular migraines worse. Interesting.
It was like if you used it, migraine headache. It was like if you used it 15 days out of a month, you were like it was making it worse. It because it's relating to the sensitivity of those certain symptoms, you know, there, and then you're adding to a change in sensory input that's artificial. So it's like you're almost changing the landscape and then you come back without the medication and it's, you know, it's like not yet set. So
that's interesting.
I would definitely say if you're taking anti-inflammatories, try and cut back on those that you might not need anyway.
Yeah, I don't actually take them that much, just occasionally. But yeah, that's actually interesting. And
it's good to know because if you get a migraine, you might think, well, I should take an Advil, right?
Yeah. And sometimes I do. Yeah. I mean, like my husband will take Excedrin, which doesn't really work for me, but when he gets a headache, but I don't know, this is different because it's more vertigo than headache. But anyway,
yeah.
All of this is fascinating. All right. We'll stay in touch with you, Jessica.
What time? You've been so generous with your time.
Thank you. Morning, right?
So it's 9:15 on Tuesday, the 17th of May.
That's nice. So cool. Time travel.
Go enjoy your day.
Have a great day. It was so nice to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Nirvana Sisters. For more information on this episode, check out the show notes. Please subscribe and leave us a review. Also, find us on Instagram at Nirvana Sisters. If you loved what you just listened to or know someone that would, please share it and tag us. Tune in next week for a fresh new episode of Nirvana Sisters. We'll continue to watch out for all things wellness so you don't have to. Bye. Thanks for listening to Nirvana Sisters. For more information on this episode, check out the show notes, please subscribe, and leave us a review. Also, find us on Instagram at Nirvana Sisters. If you loved what you just listened to or know someone that would, please share it and tag us. Tune in next week for a fresh new episode of Nirvana Sisters. We'll continue to watch out for all things wellness so you don't have to. Bye.